He comes to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. You have to vote. Every time you come to church, you vote for God's preferred future. You're saying, I'm casting a vote for my spiritual future by being in church. Every time you get down on your knees and pray when you don't feel like praying. Come on now. Every time you open up the Bible when you're tired and you say, I've read the Bible so many times, you're casting a vote for your future. Every time you forgive somebody, every time you decide to open up your mouth and praise God when you don't feel like praising, you're showing your faith in action. Hallelujah. Your praise is faith in action. Your prayers are faith in action. Some people in this church are getting free. Some people in this church are experiencing a new depth of spiritual growth that they haven't enjoyed, a new freedom in spirit because they're paying attention to the Word of God. They come to church expecting. They come to church with the attitude, what am I going to learn today? What am I going to put into practice today? This is not just a religious ritual that we're here today. We are here to sit at the feet of Jesus. We're here to learn from Him. We're here to put into action what we learn and to make the world a different place. Hallelujah. For the kingdom of God. Somebody say amen. Amen. Today I want to share with you the power, the purpose, the power and the purpose of the presence of Jesus. Say that three times fast. The power and the purpose of the presence of Jesus. Or if you don't like that title, I've got another title for you. What have I been missing? Turn to your neighbor and say, what have I been missing? Matthew 18, 19 and 20. Again, I say to you, this is Jesus speaking, that if two believers on earth agree, that is, are of one mind in harmony about anything that they ask within the will of God, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. This is a promise from Jesus. Somebody say amen. For where two or three are gathered in my name, meeting together as my followers, I am there among them. For where two or three are gathered in my name. How many times have we quoted that verse? We quote it so many times that after a while it loses its meaning. But today I feel like the Holy Spirit wants to take a highlighter and highlight this verse, this promise. Where two or three are gathered in my name. It is as if Jesus is here this morning because he is here. Amen. And he's wanting to say to us, pay attention to this word. Pay attention to what this means. And may the Lord bless this word to our hearts. And help me, Lord, by your Spirit. God, I humbly ask for your help as I deliver this message in Jesus' name. After his resurrection from the dead, the early believers experienced the presence of Christ just as if he were there physically. You know, Brother Angel mentioned about the day of Pentecost this morning. I want you to understand something. Even though Jesus' physical presence was not there after his ascension, the believers' experience, and you could read this in the book of Acts, was as if Jesus was physically among them. The literal presence of God was being experienced by the church. This is the only explanation for the dramatic change that happened in these disciples who were fearful, who had denied the Lord, had fled for their lives. They were meeting behind locked doors. Then all of a sudden, after the day of Pentecost, they were dramatically changed. They're going out to the streets, and they're healing the sick, and they're proclaiming the kingdom of God. And God is working in signs and wonders and miracles. The Sanhedrin tries to throw them in jail, and God sends an angel and takes them out of jail. And when they call them in to challenge them into the court, they said, you decide for yourself whether it's more important that we obey you or do we obey God. But as far as we're concerned, we're going to obey God. And God gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey him. Somebody say amen. If you're determined to obey God, God will lead you on a journey, on an adventure that you've never known before. What eye has not seen and what ear has not heard and what has not entered into the hearts of men, God has prepared for those who love him and trust him and obey him. Amen. Who knew that Tommy would be going to Guatemala? Amen. Who knew that Brother Ramon and his family would be coming from Venezuela and starting a mission work here in the United States? Who knew that the Dell family would be coming from South Africa now touching the world? Brother Joel is traveling to Honduras and to Cuba and other places of the world. God is doing exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, because the Holy Spirit is real and the presence of Christ is real. Wherever two or three are gathered in His name, God is present to do signs and wonders and miracles in the name of His Holy Son, Jesus. Do not limit the Holy One of Israel. Do not relegate the power of God to some ancient time back in the good old days, back in the first century. The Holy Spirit worked, or back in the early 1920s, God worked, or at Azusa Street in 1906, God worked. No, God is at work today. Today, God is at work. Today, on this Sunday, God wants to do something dramatic in your life. There will be glory. After the test, there is a testimony. After the trial, there's a victory. Hallelujah. After you've been tried as fire tries gold and purifies gold, your faith is being purified in the fire. And you're going to come out stronger. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm going to come out stronger. Because God's not finished with me yet. God's not finished with me yet. Wherever two or three are gathered in my name, Jesus said, I am there. He promises His power. He promises to keep His work going in our lives. When there's unity of the believers, whether it's a group of even two or three, mighty things can happen. This has been God's method. God doesn't need a majority. God needs a committed person, a man or a woman or a small group of people who are committed to obey His word. When Gideon had 32,000 people, God said that's too many to fight against the Midianites. So 22,000 went home. Said, all of you that are afraid and don't want to go to war, if that was me, I would say, well, maybe a handful will go home. 22,000 people left. I mean, if I was the pastor of that group, I would be like, where is everybody going? And then the Lord says, okay, 10,000 is still too many. And I'm like, oh, Lord, that's still too many. Because I don't need a majority. Turn to your neighbor and say, God doesn't need a majority. God needs somebody who believes. God needs somebody who believes, who will take Him at His word. So they test the group. You know what happened, you know. And some had drinking the water in one way. The other were drinking the water the other way. And so finally there's 300 left. And now there's this army of about 200,000 people coming against them. 300. What an amazing God we serve. You know, I've been walking with the Lord many years. I know I don't look that old. I know. But I am. But it still amazes me that God works in such small, dedicated groups of people. The way He does. Jonathan and his armor bearer against the Philistines. Just two. The Philistines were terrorizing the Jewish people. They held them at bay. And there was a Philistine group, a garrison, up on the hillside. Jonathan said, why don't we go attack these Philistines? And the armor bearer says, hey, that's cool. I'm with you, man. Hey, let's go get them. And they climb up and they say, okay, we're going to attack them. If they say, come on up here, then that's a sign from God that we should go after them. And they did. And they routed the Philistine garrison. And the tide of the war changed because of the courage of two people, Jonathan and his armor bearer. And the Bible says there is no limit with God, for God can work by many or by few. How many of you have found that to be real? Peter and John. On their way to a prayer meeting, Peter and John at the time of prayer, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, they're on their way to the temple like they would always do. God can interfere with your routine. That's why I said before, get ready for the surprises of God. And there's a lame man by the gate. He'd been laying there. He was put there every day to beg from people for money. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit spoke to Peter and John and said, I want to heal this man. The same man that you had walked by. And perhaps it wasn't even his time when Jesus was there. As far as we know, Jesus may have walked by this man as well. Because the Bible says he was put there every day for years. Timing. God has a timing. Amen? God has a suddenly. And this man puts out his hand as he normally would, as he did probably 1,000 times, seeing if they had any loose change. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Hallelujah. Two men, ordinary men, hallelujah, were on their way to a prayer meeting. They didn't have any money in their pocket, but they had something greater. Hallelujah. They had the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have his name. Jesus said, in my name you will cast out devils. In my name you will heal the sick. In my name you will represent me to the nations of the world, for you are ambassadors of Christ. Go in my name. Jesus said, go in my name. Hallelujah. I love this. Moses is on the hillside praying for a war against the Amalekites, and his hands are getting heavy. And what happens? Aaron and Hur, two of his assistants, maybe they were assistant pastors. I don't know who they were, but they were priestly in the priestly ministry. And they hold up Moses' hands. Now that's three people, right? Moses, Aaron, and Hur, that's three people. And here, the tide of the battle against the Amalekites shifts. It changed. Something dramatic changed because three people were praying on a hillside. This is God's pattern throughout history. I was studying about the revival in Scotland that happened beginning in 1949 off the coast of Scotland in the Hebrides Islands. There was such a mighty revival there. There was a man named Duncan Campbell who was a revivalist, and he was in another part of Scotland preaching. But there were two women, Peggy and Christine Smith. They were elderly. The one was 82 and one was 84. How many of you know God? Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. God didn't mind the fact that they were 82 and 84. It's not that old, right? Right. I got some people agree with me on that. Beside that, you can look it up, Wikipedia. I always fact check. When I tell you these stories, I always fact check. Okay? Do you understand? I don't want to be like that evangelist who got carried away in the big old tent meeting back in the 50s, and he said, now, folks, I want you to listen to me. He said, because this time I'm telling you the truth. Wait a minute. What were you doing last time? Well, this time I'm telling you the truth, and I always try to tell you the truth. Amen? One of them was blind. Peggy Smith and Christine Smith, look it up. 1949. Did this microphone get low? Am I yelling too much? No. Okay. And the other was crippled with arthritis. 82-year-old sister and 84. And they said to their pastor, we believe God wants to start a revival in our city. I forgot the name of the city, but you can look it up, part of Scotland. And they sent word to Duncan Campbell, the evangelist, and he said, no, I'm too busy over here. And the sisters told the pastor, no, he's coming. God showed us in a vision, as we have been praying. These women were praying 2 and 3 hours a day. 2 to 3 hours a day. In our church in Valley Stream, back in the 60s and 70s, there were two women, German women, if I'm not mistaken. One was Sister Ryan's and the other was Sister DeBoer. Elderly women. And I got to work with Angela's dad. As they were up in years, they couldn't even come to church anymore because they were frail and their health would not permit it. But you know, in their home on Hill, I think it was on somewhere on Hillside Avenue in Queens, these women faithfully prayed for that church day in and day out, day in and day out. And those two women are responsible for the growth of that church, just as much as her father was or anybody else. Somebody say amen. Amen. The prayer warrior is just as important as the pastor. Yes. Anybody who obeys the word of the Lord is just as important as the next person. If you're on a mission from God, don't let the devil intimidate you. Don't let him tell you your life doesn't count. For Jesus said, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. If you're discouraged, get a sister on the phone and pray. If you're discouraged, get a brother and get on your knees. Hallelujah. Open up your Bible together at work with two or three other Christians at work. Find somebody, because God will release power in two or three in his name. Power is released in the name of Jesus when two or three. Anyway, long story short, going back to Scotland, because sometimes I get so excited I forget to finish my story. Sure enough, Duncan Campbell came because of the prayers. A revival broke out. I forgot the name of the city. I wish I could remember it, but it'll come to me after church, I'm sure. A revival broke out. There were virtually hardly any young people in church at the time. The church was so dead, they were basically empty. After the revival, every church was full. For about 3 years, every single church was experiencing new converts, people being convicted of sin, people repenting, people coming out of terrible lifestyles and finding Jesus as their Savior. In this small area, I mean, we're talking about a small group of islands, the New Hebrides, 20,000 new people gave their heart to Christ. That's a weak praise. Come on, we need to give God some praise. 20,000. And do you think Duncan Campbell is going to get all the credit for that? No, I'm telling you that Peggy and Christine Smith, 82 and 84 years old, one blind and the other crippled with arthritis, prayed for that revival to happen. Where two or three are gathered in my name, Jesus said, mighty things are possible. Hallelujah. It's God's method for our personal maturity as well. We need to be accountable to one another. We need to have Bible studies. We need to have small groups. We need to have prayer meetings. We need to be on the phone and encourage one another. All of these one another's are in the Bible, because that's God's way of building up the church. Remember, we used to sing that old song in Sunday school, building up the temple of the Lord. Some of you seasoned saints here may remember. We used to take a brother, a sister, come here, Sister Angela, my dear wife. Brother, won't you help me? We used to pull back and forth like this. Sister, won't you help me? Oh, I'm the brother. Yes, yes, I remember.
Brother, won't you help me?
Yes, sister, won't you help? No, we would go like this, back and forth, like this. All right, see? Building up the temple of the Lord. That was a horrible description of what I was trying to say. Anyway, at least it woke you up. Praise the Lord. We would turn to somebody and say, brother, won't you help me? Sister, won't you help me? I'm building up the temple of the Lord. Do you understand? We're in this together. We together are the body of Christ. One may be a hand. One may be a foot. One may be an ear. One may be a nose or an ankle or whatever part you have to play. Every part is important. Every part is important, because there's power in agreement. And the authority coming under the authority of Jesus' name, small gatherings of two and three people have changed the history of the world. Hallelujah. My wife and I at our kitchen table prayed for several years, living on University Boulevard, 4 miles from the University of Central Florida. This was back in the 80s and 90s, early 90s. For 3 or 4 years, and my wife especially would get down on her knees, sometimes sobbing in, on the floor of our kitchen in our house there on Bradford Cove. And then one day God said to me, call the university, start a ministry there. Just the two of us praying and crying out to God. And I have to say, she had a little bit more of a vision for it than I did. Because I'm thinking, what are we going to do? And at that time, they had 26,000 students. Now they have 60,000. But God did it. God did it. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. They're celebrating this year. They're celebrating. That ministry is still going, celebrating their 25th anniversary this year. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Two people praying together at a kitchen table, husband and wife. Maybe you're not married, but you might have a couple of friends that you can pray with. Somebody at work, somebody in the church, somebody that you could be accountable to. When you're down, they can lift you up. When they're down, you can lift them up. Isn't that what it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9? Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Hallelujah. You need your brothers. You need your sister. No man is an island, and like the old song says, everybody needs somebody sometime. Come on now. May not have been a Christian song, but it's got a good point there. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two people can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. A threefold cord is not easily broken. Story is told of a group of miners in Somerset County, Pennsylvania. Maybe you read the story back in 2002, July 2002. There was a collapse of a wall in the mining shaft, and a tremendous ton, I forgot, a million gallons of water suddenly flooded the shaft where these miners were working. And it was in the cold weather, and the water temperature was 55 degrees, which, think about that, that's more than 40 degrees lower than your body temperature, right? And these nine men that were stuck there were there for 3 days. They weren't sure if they were going to live or not, because the danger of hypothermia was truly a serious problem. But what they did, these nine men, when one of them was shivering with cold, they would gather around each other. They would huddle together, you know, like the penguins do in the North Pole. They huddle together. Have you ever seen that on the nature program, the penguins? Well, that's what they did. Two can, the Bible says, can lie close together and keep warm. And that's what these nine men did. They also began to pray for each other. There's a lot of testimonies that came out of that. You could read the whole story. But every single one of them were rescued after 3 days. There was a miracle. They called it the miracle at Q Creek. It was in the headlines. They helped each other. Nobody should be isolated in the body of Christ. We have seen this. My wife and I have seen people get picked off by the enemy, because the devil would use some kind of offense. Like I told you the story about my friend Louie many years ago. It was coming to church. Pastor Dave, I'm going to help you. I'm going to be your next assistant pastor. I want to work with the young people. That's great, Louie. He would come and bother me. He would come anytime the doors were open, and even when the church wasn't open. And then 1 week he stopped coming, and then 2 weeks, and then 3 weeks. I called, Louie, what happened? I'm not coming to church anymore. Why not? My girlfriend broke up with me. I'm like, what does that have to do with anything? But see, that was the thing God used to irritate him, to distract him, and to discourage him. Don't think that the devil doesn't want to discourage you from being in the will of God and discourage you from being at the prayer meeting, discourage you from praying with your sisters and brothers. For wherever two or three are gathered in my name, Jesus said, there's power, there's purpose, and there's an anointing to get things done. Somebody say amen. God wants to do great things among us. No wonder the enemy works so hard to keep us isolated. If he can keep you away from other Christians, he's got you. He keeps you away from the prayer meeting. He keeps you away from prayer. And I know some of you can't come Wednesday night, and this is not a guilt trip about Wednesday night, really, because you can pray on the phone, right? We pray on our cell phone. Sometimes Angela's going in one direction, I'm going another direction. We got two cars, but we still pray on the phone. We pray every morning together, every morning. unless there's some kind of emergency or we had to be out at 5:30 or something like that. God works in committed groups. And Jesus validates this kind of gathering. He validates it with his word again, where he says in Matthew 18, where two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be there. I'll be there. I'll be there. Hallelujah. Get somebody to pray with. Get somebody to study the Bible with. Get somebody consistently in your life that you can grow with. You can, somebody can build you up when you're down, and you can build them up when they're down. Don't give in to the devil's strategy of dividing and conquering. He wants to separate you so he can discourage you and keep you away from God. Fear of rejection, insecurity, feeling unworthy. You know, people have had so many excuses. Oh, well, when I went to the Bible study, the sister looked at me funny. I used to go to the men's meeting, but that brother said, made fun of me, and he didn't like the hat I was wearing. I mean, all right. These things happen. How many of you know even pastors say dumb things once in a while? All right, don't agree so wholeheartedly there. You know how many times I have said dumb things and I've had to go back and apologize to people? Even Pastor Angela, who's almost perfect. She's almost perfect. But we have all made tremendous mistakes. But we can't take that out on God. We don't take that out on God. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we are lying. And we do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship not only with God, but with one another. Do you see that? Walking in the light is not just being in prayer and being accountable to God. It's also being with your brothers and sisters. This is called walking in the light. When we walk out our Christian life together, we're doing Christianity together with twos and threes. You need somebody in your life who can speak to you and knows on a deeper level what's going on in your life. If you're hiding, if you're afraid, if you feel insecure, you will not grow. You will not grow. We've got to be honest. Revealing is healing. Pastor Angela preached a few weeks ago. When you reveal your need, God is able to minister to your need. When you're honest with your friends, God can bring healing in your life. The possibilities are endless. Together, we can become mature disciples. Together, we can extend the influence of Christ around the world. Together, there will be a mighty anointing. The Bible says how good and pleasant it is when the brothers and sisters dwell together in unity. Psalm 133. It's like the oil that came down on Aaron's head, on his beard, down to the collar of his garments, all the way down. What is that talking about there? Psalm 133, this anointing. Read the last verse. The last verse says, there the Lord commanded his blessing. Where? Where the anointing is. Where the unity is. There the Lord commanded. Where did God command the blessing? Where there's unity. Where there's anointing, where brothers and sisters are dwelling together in unity. Hallelujah. There the Lord commanded the blessing. When you get close to people, you find out they're not perfect. This is not a shock. Everybody say, shocker. Nobody is perfect. Come on now. If you are perfect, you would be in heaven already. But you can grow if you're willing to be humble and honest. Let me ask you something as I close this morning. Are you the kind of people that can listen to somebody's need and somebody's problem, somebody's burden, without having to speak twice as much as they speak or quickly blurt out an answer? Like sometimes I do this. Husbands are famous for doing this with their wives. Before the wife even says what's on her mind, he's already got the answer. How many of you wives know what I'm talking about? Because men want to fix things. We want to fix it. But women want to be listened to. They want to be heard. Are you willing to care for people by really listening? Really listening. The Bible says we should be slow to speak and quick to listen. God gave us two ears and one mouth. Come on now. Two ears and one mouth. The Bible says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. In these groups of two and three, don't blow people out of the water and, you know, come in. I've seen this happen, and you'll have to forgive me because these stories are helpful because we learn from these things. But I've seen people, like, dominate a small group where they want to preach at everybody, and they want to tell everybody, you don't have any faith, just believe, you know, what's wrong with you, snap out of it. And they blow people out, and people leave because one person is being insensitive. We need to be humble. Let me ask you this. Are you the kind of person that people want to be around? That's a scary question. Or are people happy when you leave? You might want to check yourself out if people you notice, you know, Pastor, people are always pushing away from me. I don't know what it is. I'm such a wonderful person. How could that be? We all can grow. Amen. I've gotten a lot of rude awakenings in my life. How many of you have ever had a rude awakening? You're like, oops, I thought I was over that. I thought I was a lot smarter. I thought I was more mature than that. I thought I would never answer back like that. I thought I couldn't lose my temper. Oh, boy, I did lose my temper. What have I been missing? For if we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie, and the truth is not in us. In Ephesians, it says, this is how the body of Christ is built up, by each joint being connected. We have the scripture. Good. Let me read it to you. Thank you, Amanda. From whom the whole body joined and knit together by that which every joint supplies. Notice the body is knit together and builds itself up by these relationships, by that which every joint supplies. According to the effective working by which every part does its share, it causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. What that's saying is that your elbow is a joint. Your wrist is a joint. The joint is the meeting place of two parts. You got that? The joint is the meeting place of two parts. My forearm and my upper arm, right? Those are the one another's. The joints are the one another's in the Bible. We pray for one another. We bear one another's burdens. We forgive one another. We love one another. We edify one. Read the book of Acts. You see all the one another's. In the book of Acts, there are 40 places in the book of Acts, 40 or more places where the phrase one another appears. And in the rest of the New Testament as well. That's the way we grow. We grow from each other, loving, forgiving, praying for one another, building each other up in love. Amen. Can you say amen, church? Amen.